All right, the Lord laid this on my heart as I was downloading it, writing it down in tears. I have a heart for so many things, and I've lived a life of not being there all the way. You know what I mean? So you got to confess things, and it's now you're into a season. Like every time I've got up here, I talked about being in a storm, and in a storm, this last season has been shalom. It's been peace. And when you found a way to get there, you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave. So, Father, I just step out of the way right now in the name of Jesus. I cast out all enemy out of here right now. You have no authority here, Father. Let this word deliver what it's supposed to deliver, Father. We say that right now in Jesus' name. I come with the authority you have given me, Father, to deliver your word. So, shalom. There is such a special and moving, it's a special and moving about being greeted by the word shalom. It can be, it can warm the heart and it can comfort the spirit. And I want to walk through this word today and add a little more understanding to it, right? And to do it, possibly dive a little bit deeper into peace be with you. It means more than just hello or goodbye. So by definition, it means a state of fullness and perfection. Who wants to be there? What is meant by when it is said, may you be filled with a complete and perfect peace and be full of well-being, or may health, prosperity, and peace of mind and spirit be upon you. A year ago, he told me he wanted to be Lord of my mind. And that's been a struggle for a lot of people, especially myself. But when you surrender that to him, where his thoughts captivate and you throw out your thoughts, he gives you peace of mind. All right? So let's dive a little bit into this today, because it can be attainable. It truly is overflowing inner and outer joy and peaceful serenity. He established his foundation. What's Jerusalem mean? The foundation of peace. King Solomon means peaceful. The kingdom that's described by Jesus is peace. Let's strive to get there. I do not apologize for having a lot of scripture today. I do not. There was actually 200 that I could have used. All right, you're burning it about 40 or more. The food does have microwaves. Linwood, you're still here. Ice cream's still in the freezer. We're good. Shalom can also be rest. It's been a great restful time. That's also going to be Shabbat, right? But it could be used and translated into rest. But I don't think rest gives it true justice, because peace that passes all understanding. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord of Peace, in Judges 6:24. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is Peace. It's still standing today. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So I'm going to build on scripture, on scripture, on scripture. Again, I don't apologize, because there's going to be a lot of it. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We get scared, and we just had a testimony from Shauna. I was scared of the deliverance. I was kind of eerie about it. Me and my wife talk. What we talk about stays between her and I. We were skeptical at first. Friday night, I came and got a little bit of taste of it, and I applaud the leadership for bringing it here. It's much needed. I've took classes 8 years ago doing it at Maryland. Some places aren't ready for it, but it's time. It's time. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld for those who walk uprightly. So let's walk uprightly. Job 22, 21 through 22. Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. He's already been Lord of my heart. I wasn't laying up the words. So the words that were coming out were not good sometimes. And I think the first time I preached here, does anybody that was here remember what it was about? It's a good answer. It was about getting naked before the Lord. Yeah. So you actually walk a scripture out. His word will not return to him void. If you stay with it, and it says in Hebrews 4:13, I didn't give this one to you, Becky, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You have to give an account for every idle word that comes out of your mouth, for every action that you do. You do have to give an account. Why not just go ahead and repent from that past life, have a fresh start, and guess where we're at? We're starting over. You paused that part, you killed it, you let it die, and here we are. So a state of fullness and perfection. Who here wants the fullness of God? Fullness. And once you get there and find it, you got to fight for it. You got to fight for it to keep it. That means old friends, they're gone. Old ways, old habits, they're gone. Guess what you get replaced with? What'd you just say? Church family here. Yes. You got a paddle? No. You didn't bring it. You get a church family that loves you and adores you. You get to go to events like the Emmaus. We did Tres Dias for many, many, many years, so I understand every bit of being a candidate to working. It's full of love, and you're building upon precept upon precept upon precept upon precept. A little bit about was in Psalms 103 when she opened up, and I had no idea what she was opening up with. So a little bit of this started, I think, I don't know who I told, I think it was you. My first night ever out with my driver's license. I'm in my dad's truck. He was supposed to show up, but he's not here, so it's all right. Guess what I get? My first night in my driver's. I got a ticket. I did. I got a ticket, and I'm like, but I knew the right people. It didn't. I got it pulled. I never had to face a consequence for having a lead foot. In the first year, probably got pulled over 3 to 4 times. Never had to pay the consequences. Same person would pull the ticket. So you learn your actions never had consequences at an early, early age. So here I am driving with my foot down to my new job the last 6 months. Driving, I'm on 40 going to Putnamville, and I see a cop pull up next to me. I look down. That's your first instinct. Let's be honest. Your first reaction is your foot comes off the accelerator. You look down. You've learned not to hit the brakes because you're admitting guilt, and you're driving and you look at the corner of your eyes. You don't want to like, hey, and that's happened. And he flew on by. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, because I was speeding. I'm driving home, same road we took home yesterday. I'm going 55 in a 40. I'm going home to see my beautiful wife. And I see cherries come on behind me. And I'm like, oh, I am really, it's 15 miles over speed limit. He flies on by. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Here come another one. And I'm like, well, this one's going to get me. Thank you, Jesus. He went by too. Somebody's being worse off than I am. And Holy Spirit will use those little things like that. He said, how did you react when you were in that presence? And I'm like, I was behaving really good, really fast. Why not stay there? I'm like, that would preach, Lord. Great life lesson there. So let's just start adopting those things, so then you don't have to look over your shoulder. How many, even got, besides my wife, any other teachers in here? Anybody ever been to middle school? Everybody been a middle schooler? When you're doing something wrong in class and you have that look, that guilt and shame look, yes, everybody here's guilty of it. So now I'm a teacher at a prison, and when old men, older men, younger men, you have to look up, and they get that juvenile look, what are you up to? And I'm like, you just can't behave, but we'll get to that setting apart in a second. So why not live in his presence and reflect Christ? It's a place of peace and rest. It starts with humility. This is a scripture that's went around forever. I opened up with it last time I opened, but 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, say it, I'm his people, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Why not do that? His presence is powerful. It's indescribable. Psalms 119, 4. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. That's a command. Joshua 1, 8 through 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do it according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Sounds like a promise to somebody that never lies. So your response should be, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So you get to a place of humility. You work hard. You stay strong. You read. You pray. You seek. You ask. And remember, shalom is worth the fight. Joshua 1, 2 through 3. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over to the Jordan, and you and all his people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. I worked my job for 30 years. I did not want to talk about it today, but he gave me that scripture. And it said to me, Sean, George is dead. Arise. I have something else planned. I have something else planned. It is greater. So let's go walk in it. You can turn this into an 11-day journey or a 40-year journey. It's totally up to you. I choose 11. His peace is there. You want to go deeper? You want to go deeper? Okay. Leviticus 10:3. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who came near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. It says he must be glorified. That's not part-time. That's full-time. And Aaron held his peace. So if you love the Lord with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength, this can be attainable. It takes trust. It takes surrender. It takes humility. It takes worship, and it most definitely takes prayer. It takes Jesus being Lord in every area of your life. Every area, even the ones you want to hide. He wants full ownership, not weekend visitations. Sometimes that stings. Shalom breaks down into these meanings or characteristics. Wholeness. Who wants to feel whole? Ephesians 1:3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's wholeness. Colossians 1:22. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. He looks at you whole. He doesn't look at you battered and destroyed and beaten. He looks at you whole. He literally paid the price. Let's stay there. Let's look past the cross, even because there's so much more life behind that. There's comfort. What's he called? He's called our comforter. Contentment. Contentment's sometimes hard because we look around. I love your truck. I do. But I'm content with what I got. I'm thankful for what I got. I'm happy with what I got. So in prayer and thanksgiving, thank you, because it could be worse. I've been at worse. Well, I didn't have a car that would start. I didn't know how I was going to get my next meal. I understand that. I'm so thankful for where he's brought you to. And that has taken a process and a process and a process. And it's taken a lot of surrendering and a lot of trust. Health. Shalom also breaks down to a characteristic in health. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I stand on that every day. I have literally not been sick in 17 years. Had a gallbladder issue last year. It won't go into details. This is the scripture that I claim every time it would have it stink, raise its stinky little head, because it causes all kinds of stupid stuff. Psalms 118:17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. That's powerful. And it's true. And if you speak it, what's it do? It will not return to him void. I'm speaking life back into myself. I shall not die, but live and tell of the good works of the Lord. It's so true every day. Proverbs 14:26-31. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one way from the snares of death. In a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. If you honor him, he has mercy. It also means welfare. Welfare. He is my portion, my provider. He says in Matthew, he talks about the birds of the air, how he provides them a meal every day. Them birds, you go out and sit in the woods, you can sit there and listen. Does anybody see all the little earthworms all over the concrete most of the days? He's provided it and they let it dry up. I was sitting out there in the woods watching the birds chirp, and sometimes they just won't shut up, but sometimes it's beautiful. And I'm like, he must be hungry, but he's not going to do. The Lord provided, go get your food. You still have to do. He's not going to say, here, Lance, here's everything you ever wanted. You still have to do, right? You still have to have that relationship, and you have to build it up with him. He provides, so we still have to go to work. He provides well-being. He provides safety. I'm not going to read all, but Psalms 91, if you want to write it down. He's my safety. Ephesians 6. Everybody knows Ephesians 6. It's about armoring up. We got to put on our armor daily. Sonny, we got to put on Jesus, daily. Mystery. My trust is in the Lord. He's my shield. And here's some things that I was digging through doing this. What's the definition of a stronghold? We've given the enemy too much clout. The actual definition of a stronghold is a fortified place, a place of security or survival, a place dominated by a particular group, or marked by a particular characteristics. If your characteristics should be reflect Jesus, guess who's your stronghold? Jesus. So say with me, Jesus is my stronghold.
Jesus is my stronghold.
It also means tranquility. What's tranquility mean? It's calmness. He calms the storm. He's the one with the power to calm the storm. Why not suit up in that? He's your peace. Here's a tough one. He's your integrity. What's integrity mean? It's being honest. It's having strong moral principles, moral uprightness, state of being whole, undivided, dependable, loyalty, honest, good judgment, respect, holding yourself accountable, accepting responsibility, and facing the consequences of your actions. Here's one I'll spend a little more time on. Success. Who marks success? The world or God? Success is fulfilling God's purpose for your life. How much weight can an oxen pull? Anybody know? Three? You already know. 3,000 pounds. Okay. Isn't that amazing? That's a lot of weight. How much can two pull? That was my math, but it's more than that. It's 13,000 pounds. Why? Why? Matthew 11:28. You got it up? Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy burden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. So when an oxen, I'm not a farmer. I would try to get a yoke. But what he does is, if when you surrender to the Lord, he takes the strong one and puts it with the weak one. All right? So who's the weak one? We are. All right. That's a good answer. Who's the strong one? Good answer. So when I'm going to hook up and you're going to train, because I'm going to follow along because I don't want to do this and get drug along, so I got to get in step with you. I have to get in step with you. It's the only way it's going to work. Because if not, you're getting drug along, and that's not fun. So we have to...
Not working together, you can't pull with my foot.
No. So the strong one hooking up with the weak one, you have to admit this. You can't be greater than your Creator. And when the enemy attacks, and he will, if you're sound in your word, Ephesians tells you to stand, withstand, and then stand again. He might come again. So what are we supposed to do? Stand, withstand, and stand again. If we stay true to his word and we honor what's in here, he's going to bless where we're at. Things are coming here. We've seen healings here. There's more coming. There's more coming. We will see the dead raised here. So let's go a little bit deeper. Do you know why fish aren't affected by storms? Good answer. They dive deeper where the storms don't affect them. So by now you have to be asking yourself, maybe, are you in church? Are you in Christ? Matthew 3:8. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. John 12:28. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Romans 2:4. Or do you, despite the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. He wants to be Lord in every area of your life. Everyone has a starting point. Some have triggers. If few conversations I've had with Mark, a little bit of experience I've had in ministry over the years. What's the biggest roadblock? Pride. What's the next one? Unforgiveness. So let's kick them out. All right? They have no place in you, around you, or on you. They're the two most common. So turn with me to Galatians 5:16 through 25. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pause right there. So remember Galatians 5:16. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I'm going to pick three of those we just read. Jealousy. So if we can go to Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Fits of anger, Proverbs 14:29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Sorcery. Sorcery can also be your words. Your words could be cussing or cursing. There is a difference. Proverbs 18:20 through 21. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. How many of you have good voices to make bird sounds? Anybody? I need a volunteer because I can't. Good bird sound. No, we're going to talk about a Turkish crane. A Turkish crane. All right, anybody seen the Canadian geese? When they're flying over you, you cannot miss them because they're constantly. There you go. So Turkish cranes live on this side of the mountain, and they go eat over on this side of the mountain, and they can't help themselves when they're flying. They're announcing what's coming out of their mouths to the enemy. And their enemy is an eagle. And the eagle is just saying, the dinner bell's ringing, let's go get it. How do you adapt from that? Turkish, his creation is brilliant. Turkish cranes swoop down and pick up a rock and put it in their mouth and now fly under the radar. That's awesome. That rock's Jesus. He saved them to go get fed because he would provide. So, okay, back to Galatians 5:22 through 26. You do not have that one. We're just going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience. Patience can be inside contentment. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control builds your integrity. To have Jesus, I mean really, really, really have him, is to have the greatest treasure in all the world. To have his life, his joy, his peace, and his presence, it cannot be compared. Knowing him is home. We all like to spend time at home. It's where we rest. It's where we find comfort. It's where we find peace. He's home. He's just awesome. All right. So this is where my wife made fun of me last night. That was a good opening, right? Right? Good, right? All right. Good opening. Turn with me to 2 Samuel 12, 15 through 23. Then Nathan departed to his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm." When David saw this, servants were whispering. David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And then he went to his own house. And when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servant said to him, "What is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but then your child died, you arose and ate food." And he said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Why did I read all that? So after being, let me set the scene. Everybody knows the story of David. He had an affair. He just committed murder. So adultery, murder, lied, did everything. He knew he had to face some consequences. They called David a man of integrity. He had to face some consequences. So the whole part I wanted to pull off right there is David had to get on his face. He had to get on his face. That's humility. He had to admit he was wrong. He fasted. He knew. I don't say what he said while he was laying, but he humbly laid there before the Lord, accepted the consequences, and knew he couldn't do anything about it. Consequences are done. He arose. He dusted off his sandals and went on. Something in your life has hung you up for many, 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 many years. It's time to get on your face, arise, and let it go. Something on you might need to die. Your peace is there. John 14:26-27. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and bring you your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Remember humility. Humbling yourself leads to peace and rest. I need somebody to volunteer to come up here. I was hoping it was going to be you. Hold that one. Don't look at it. Hold that one. Don't look at it. Oh, okay. Hold that one. Don't look at it. You're peeking. Hold that one. Don't look at it. Hold that one. Don't look at it. Okay, thank you. I was sitting in the woods and just listening to what the Lord had to say. And people that really, really know me, I'm kind of sarcastic. Just a little bit. A little bit. So I'm being still. I'm trying to get into the presence, and whatever needs to be on my heart, I just tell the Lord. I get on his lap, and I just want to cry to Daddy. Tell me what's going on. He's going to stand up. He's like, turn around. Think of it like this. What do you do when somebody comes up to rob you? You surrender. You do. That's good. He's the first person that I've done this in the last week that actually did it right. Put your arms up. He said, "Oh, I'm not packing today." But he also said, I'm the only thief that takes away disobedience, mistrust, weakness, chaos, misery, and I replace it with
peace, joy, strength, trust, obedience.
You have them. That's a good thing. Burn them.
Burn them.
That's what I said. I said, Lord, that would preach too. So put your arms up. He's going to take something away and replace it with something. I can't even put a magnitude of wealth upon what he's going to put on you. Lord, here's something funny. I prayed last night before I went to bed. I'm going to need two waters today. I have two waters up here. I didn't tell anybody. Didn't ask. I know I'm going to talk a lot. I told you we just got started. But surrender. He replaces what he takes from you and replaces it with something better. That's true shalom from the Prince of Peace. Shalom is freedom. And freedom takes obedience. Obedience is your free will. It can take you 11 days or it can take you 40 years. It becomes your choice. Serenity is the state of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. So what does God say about serenity? Serenity just took your chaos away and he gave you peace. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. He will keep you in perfect peace. Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's kind of, you have to make a choice. So choose today who you will serve. Will you serve yourself, the enemy, or Christ? Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord will be with you. Philippians 4:6-8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Did somebody here preach about redwood trees? You did it one time or another? It's been on my heart. So I'm going to. Redwood trees. Where are they at? California. How big are they? 300 to 350 feet tall. How wide are they? 100, up to 100 feet? That's what they say the largest one is. To grow, you have to put your roots down somewhere, right? Their roots are intertwangled. Is that a word? Intertangled. Intertwined. But why? Because they're yoked together with fellow believers who have the same purpose, so they have grown to their full potential. They have grown to their full potential because their roots are not only in good soil, but they got together with the right crowd. The wrong crowd, it's going to wither and it's going to faint. It's going to go away. They have a shallow root system. They extend over 100 feet from the base, intertwining with roots of other redwoods. This increases their stability during strong storms. Sounds like a good church family to me. Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me so that the true shalom can happen. True peace is peace with God, peace within, and peace with others. I think I've told a lot, how many people here, I don't like conflict. I don't like it. We don't never fight, right? Yeah. I don't. I have to repent of something. I'm trying to be a different kind of person where I'm working. I'm working in a very, very dark environment. And I was testing Wednesday to get people to come into the education building to see if they can get their GED. And 20, 23-year-old boys, very defiant, they want to challenge their authority right away. Right away. I'm pretty lenient. Okay, I'll let a few things slide, just they're being adolescents. But the third time I really said something to them, and I said, I have been very, very lenient with you. Everybody else would have kicked you out. I guess I'm still the rookie. But at that moment, in my spirit or my flesh, I wanted to punch him square in the face because he was so defiant. But I did not, because I like to stay employed. But I know what my flesh was crying out to do, and I didn't tell anybody. And I walked back Thursday, going out to when they were coming back from chow, and I was going out to lunch. That guy's nose was all taped up. Somebody else took care of it for me. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. But that's not good. Somebody shut him up. And here's why I did not want him. This was I didn't punch him in the face. You're held to a higher standard. Jesus truly does change everything. For example, you're blessed coming in. You're blessed coming out. It's a greeting and a farewell. I was blessed leaving my old job, and I am blessed coming into my new job. I have so many opportunities for ministry. It is a mission field. It literally is. I will share a few. Gentleman comes up. He's pretty sure his wife's cheating on him. And he's like, how do you get to this fullness? What do you do to have all this of the Lord? I was like, dude, it takes 100% surrender. He's like, can I go in the hall? He's not supposed to be left leaving my sight. So I stepped out to the door. I said, go ahead. He's on his face, crying out to the Lord. Tears rolling down his face. Man, he is in full surrender. And I'm like, I said, Lord, thank you. This is awesome. This is awesome. It's not my job to be a minister there, but it's my job to be a minister there. He comes back weeks later. He walks up, Mr. Klotz. They call me Coach K, which is kind of, I don't like Duke basketball, so I kind of take offense to the Coach K thing. But he comes up and says, Mr. Klotz, fear, what's this fear thing? You're not supposed to have any fear. I was like, you're supposed to have fear of the Lord, and that's it. He's like, okay. So we started talking. We talked some more. And I don't know what led to it, but we started talking about his wife again, how he thinks she's cheating. He goes, well, I've been talking to this other girl. And I'm like, say what? You've been talking to this other girl? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, is it kind of like, she goes, yeah, we talk about everything. And I'm like, so you're cheating on your wife? He's like, what do you mean by that? I'm like, you're cheating on your wife. You're having an emotional affair. And he said, how? I'm like, you're talking to another woman while you're married. I said, that brings on demonic things. I was like, and he's like, does it? I'm like, then we started talking about having sexual relations outside of the marriage covenant. And I said, every time you did that, it brought a soul tie. You had demons come upon you. And he's like, really? I'm like, yes. So where's that in scripture? I'm like, all over. I'll find it. I'll give it to you. He goes back to chow. It's like 2-hour break and comes back. And he literally said he was going to go repent. He said, as he was sitting on his dorm bunk, he was calling out name after name, felt the weight lift him. He came back. Well, actually, he got done. He was just glowing. So 3 feet away where the next bunkmate is, what's going on? He told him, let him to the Lord. Wow. Revival's breaking out in prison. It's happening. Okay, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 15. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. That's powerful. Jesus left us the Holy Spirit. He will remind you. You just got to allow him. But one thing I wanted to catch out of there is become effective and fruitful. You can be ineffective and unfruitful, but you can become effective and fruitful. You got to build on each other. To me, that was saying glory to glory to glory to glory. It's building on shalom. You're finding peace in this area of your life. You're finding peace in this area of your life. You're finding peace in this area of your life. And it's glory to glory to glory to glory. He's reminding you of that. You got to dive in to the word. I've always been, I'm not trying to be egotistical, I've always been book smart. Okay, book smart, you have to have an understanding. You put the test in for me, I'll ace it. All right? Then that knowledge goes out the door because I don't need it anymore because I aced the test. That's how I used to be. Knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. You have to have that, and he's full of it. He's going to teach us a new attribute about him every day for eternity, and there's no time in heaven. So we did this at Youth Wednesday. How old are you? Do not calculate how many days is that. It's 18,000 some odd days old. That's 18,000 some odd attributes that I'm going to learn about Christ, just if that was today. Some of you are older than me. Might be 36,000 attributes. Maybe it's going to go on and on and on and on and on and on. It's never ending. It's sanctification. You're working from glory to glory to glory to glory. Isaiah 61, 10 through 11. I didn't give her some, but I don't remember which ones. It says you're clothed in righteousness. Isaiah 32, 17. The effect of righteousness is peace. Mark 5:34 says, go in peace. Luke 10:5, peace to this house when you enter. Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through Jesus. Ephesians 2:14, he is our peace. 1 Corinthians 7:15, he has called you to peace. James 3:18, righteousness is sown by peace.